Our hearts go out with the families and loved ones of all the victims that have were killed in the Manchester bombing. Our hearts go out to the families. We have young children ourselves, so it hit close to home when we heard about this.
It did.
We want to say that we are thinking about you, and I hope we can get some justice on this quick and swiftly.
Why'd you have to go? Why'd you have to leave me when I needed you the most? 'Cause I don't really know how to tell you without feeling much worse. I know you're in a better place, but it's always gonna hurt. Carry on, give me all the strength I need to carry on.
Hello and welcome to the latest exciting installment of the Bad Wolf podcast. It is officially the hottest day of the year.
All right, let me start you off, stop you there first. You need to be filling us up. I don't want to be doing this one sober, bro.
Oh,
start them shots off, bro. Start them shots off.
We have got a bottle of Jägermeister.
Yay. This is how you do it, like old and boring. I forgot the Red Bull, though. I'm sorry. Halfway. And then pour it into the cups. I put the cups here. Yeah, pour it into that. Then we can do it that way. I don't have no shot glass. I had shot glasses. See, this is when I used to be a proper alcoholic. But now I don't have shot glasses anymore.
I've not had this stuff in ages.
Nope. Last weekend. I have Jaeger bombs all the time, mate.
Oh.
Like I'm still in my early 20s.
Toast to Sir Roger Moore.
May his soul rest in peace.
Synonymous with our childhood. Synonymous with our lives. Because when we were growing up in like the 80s, 90s, he was James Bond. He was the one we saw on ITV.
Top of my head, I am trying to remember a good...
Live and Let Die is probably his best one.
Yeah.
But, he was the only Bond I knew. I didn't know there were any other Bonds until GoldenEye was coming out.
Yeah.
And then they brought out all the Bond films on VHS and I got them all. Then I checked out Connery and Lazenby and Dalton. But to me, my Bond was always Roger Moore because he was the only one I ever saw on TV.
Money penny.
I've had a suntan all my life.
I love Roger Moore. He was one of the best Bonds. He will be missed. Didn't even know he was suffering from cancer.
Yeah, it's very short illness.
Oh, so as soon as it's like too late, well into his like stage four. I think stage four is the worst case scenario. Which is really sad. I mean, I think the Harambe curse, this is what I'm going to call it. I'm calling it first because I've never heard it before. The Harambe curse continues into 2017 and we are losing the good ones way too soon, even though they had a good long life, and as Kevin Smith would say, huge bucket of win.
Yeah, and we also lost Jeffrey Bowden last week, who famously played Catweasel, and he was nearly the first Doctor, and he was nearly the second Doctor.
But did he ever become the Doctor?
On Big Finish, Big Finish did a whole range called Unbound, and it was basically all the Doctors who were rumoured at the time, and some of them were really interesting. And yeah, he was great. He played the first Doctor in the Unbound universe. Really, really good. And he's, like I said, probably best known for Catweasel. And as you know, Gerard, I used to work on the railway.
Yes.
But what you don't know is that if you want banter, if you want proper fucking balls out banter, the best place to be is the railway mess room. You will just get nothing, like people banging on tables, just shouting abuse at each other.
Oh my word.
If you like banter, you need to go and experience a railway mess room. These two guys were just arguing every single day. And then one of them stood up and just said to the other one, "Shut up, Catweasel." And made everyone always banging on the table, laughing, because this guy looked like Catweasel. And once it was pointed out that he looked like Catweasel, that's all I could see. He even had the little goatee.
Oh,
the Catweasel had. So yeah, I used to say stuff like electricery, like he used to. And this is the last death we're going to talk about. But Zack Snyder has had to step away from the Justice League.
That's another thing. You know what? It was very nice of you to say anybody who puts horrible comments on the on Twitter would be blocked, because, you know, that's troll. There are so many trolls out there.
I mean, regardless of what you think about the man's work, saying you're happy that he stepped down isn't great. For those who don't know, it was revealed this week that Zack Snyder's daughter committed suicide in March, and they kept it a secret, and he had intended to just throw himself in his work and just buckle down and get on with the Justice League. But he's decided that he just can't, which is understandable. I mean, I can't even begin to imagine what that must be like.
Exactly.
Are you feeling the Jaeger?
Yes.
I'm feeling it already as well.
Shit out of my throat.
Woo! But yeah, so our hearts, our thoughts, our condolences go out to the Snyder family.
Yeah, what he said.
So Joss Whedon is taking over, which is good. I don't think it's going to completely change the tone of the film.
No, I think they would have spoken to each other.
And Joss would have seen the early cuts and stuff. Because Joss originally came in to do some rewrites. So, and you know he's doing Batgirl. So maybe they're going to do some foreshadowing here. But yeah, like I said, we're thinking of you, Zack Snyder, and we wish you all the best.
Yes.
In more positive news, mate, it's been announced that David Tennant and Billy Piper are doing a Big Finish audio. And that news crashed the Big Finish website.
So what do you think about it?
I'm excited. It just shows what a popular pairing these two are. It trended on Twitter. Big Finish have never trended on Twitter before.
It was a surprise. I wouldn't expect it. I didn't think that was they were ever going to...
I thought after they got David Tennant and Catherine Tate together, I thought there was a possibility.
Yeah, but, you know, after Billie Piper had done her part and she just bowed out gracefully and, you know, gone with her life and doing other things, and then you didn't think he's going to hear anything else from her doing it, wanting to go into Big Finish, I think they must have...
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. The smallest violin in the world.
Yeah, up that price.
But this could be the release that puts Big Finish in huge stores like WH Smith. That would be great to see.
That would be good to see, actually. I'm actually quite intrigued to see what happens. Like, as I've told you, I've heard one or two things from Big Finish, and I have to say they are good. I wish I had the time and the capacity to...
Oh, there's so much. I'm thinking of doing a YouTube video, like a where to begin with Big Finish.
That's a good idea.
And just picking out essential stories for people to listen to.
Yeah, yeah. Off the top of your head, what would you say? One,
I think if you're a fan of the 10th Doctor era, go with the 10th Doctor box set. I would recommend checking out Torchwood, because each story is self-contained.
Yeah.
And they take place before, during, and after the TV series.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can just pick up one of those. They don't tend to have stories that intertwine with each other. They're pretty much standalone. They're an hour. They're about a tenner. So, yeah, highly recommend the Torchwood range.
Okay. So, you heard it there from someone who watches that stuff quite a lot. I wouldn't know what to tell you. I've only listened to one of the Torchwood things, and I thought I liked it. It's just I didn't have the time to watch it.
So anyway, mate, you went to a screening yesterday for a film called Dying Laughing. What was that like?
It's a good film. So basically, it's a documentary.
Yeah.
It delves into the lives of a comedian. Well, not a lives of a comedian. It's life of a comedian, and you know their how process. They started. Well, not a process. It's like, because it's all different. Nobody's life journey into how they became a star as a comedian is the same. They have stories of the same, like, context of starting, their first failure, what it felt like to fail, what they'd done, you know, when they succeeded, how it felt when they had actually got the crowd to do as they wanted. They say they had all different views on those questions, and it was good to watch and how people have struggled. And it was at the time you're watching it, then you think about Robin Williams and people like that, who either committed suicide or died before they had the chance to be able to talk about it. Like Jesus Christ, I forgot his name. He was in
Jim Belushi.
Jim Belushi. He was in Captain America. He was the senator. He was in Iron Man.
Oh, Gary Sheen.
Yeah. And he was in it as well.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's surreal to see how hard it is for you to want to be, if you want to become a famous stand-up comedian, the rigmarole of what you have to go through to become someone like that, even if you have the talent. Like Kevin Hart was on there, and he's a brilliant comedian. He's absolutely
outstanding, yeah.
But even himself, he's like, no, it's not as easy as you think it is. You know, there were times when I first started and I've gone on the stage and I'm like, I've got all this content written. I'm going to have the crowd in the palm of my hand, and I go on. And then if the crowd is in the wrong type of mood, no matter what you tell them, they're not going to listen. They're going to pull you off the stage.
That's the danger of doing stand-up comedy, is that people book these tickets sometimes a year in advance.
Yeah.
And you never know what type of day that person's had.
Yeah.
When they show up, because of course they're nine times out of ten, they're probably still going to use the tickets, even if something bad happened. Because, you know, tickets are expensive.
Yes.
So, yeah, I guess that is a real danger.
It is. And the way they made this up, but the way you hit, you know, this is the one thing all of them had in common. It is like a drug. From what you, they don't say it, but the way they talk about it, you can tell it's a drug. You can tell them that they are out there to get that laugh from people.
Yeah.
That they're out there working their asses off day in, day out, taking notes, writing down ideas, looking at things that happen and then writing it down and thinking how they can they make it, turn it into a funny aspect on the stage and have people be just tuned to them for 10, 15, 20, an hour on the stage, how people can keep them like that. And you can tell when they're talking that it's like, we need this one more line. No, I'm going to stop. I'm going to quit doing it. But I just need one more line to just get me started. And that's how it sounded when you listen to it. And you're like realizing that different aspects of their life, men, women, just talking about this is what happens. We get booed. But it's like that, you know, they get their highs. But, you know, you're going to get that one drug. That's going to make your life evil. And then it's like, we get the hecklers, we can deal with the hecklers, but there's going to be one heckler that's going to catch us off guard. And it's just going to be like the worst high you can ever be. And you're going to get that one bad high that's just going to put you into a spiral that you cannot get out of. And when I was listening, it's like, but it gets like that, because if it's something you absolutely love, you don't want to go in there and have it fail on you, and then you have to go home and figure out what the fuck you're going to do to make it feel better, or to feel better, or to do something like that. Because there was one comedian who was talking about the hecklers, and he started crying while they were talking about being heckled. And I'm like, because I have not been on that other end of the stick, I don't understand why people would get upset about it. But it's like, if it's a job you love, if it's something you can't get enough of and you wake up just thinking about it, then it's understandable, because that's what I'm like when it comes to me building computers, when it comes to me working on things that I enjoy doing. If it doesn't go the way I want it to go, I can be upset. But thinking about it, like, talking to you about it, I hadn't really thought about it, because I was so hungry after I left the cinema. I was about to eat a homeless person. So I didn't really think it. So as I talk about it and I think about it, it's like, it's fully understandable if you have something that you are truly passionate about, and then you just want to talk nothing about it. And it's like, how they became famous and how they got to where they were, different roads, completely different roads. Yeah. But they had their aspects in their life where they had to do similar things, like traveling all over the States, traveling all over the UK to go to those shitty, like, crappy places to do stand-up, to go into massive stadiums and selling out stadiums and stuff like that. It was like, that part was the same, but their journeys were different getting there. And it's like, flipping them. It was good. I liked it. I enjoyed it. And some of them were just talking, and they were just coming out with their anecdotes, and it was, and people in the cinema room were laughing their asses off, and it was like, it was quite funny and sad at the same time. Because I think only one person mentioned Robin Williams, and it was a sad moment, because Robin Williams is one of the greatest comedians.
Oh, without doubt.
One of the greatest comedians. And some people talking about Bernie Mac as well. It was good. I enjoyed it. If you want to go, if you are like into comedy and you want to know about how comedians get to where they are, you need to go and watch it. It's very informative. You know, because they say, oh, there's like the whole thing about comedians being depressed, and that's how they're so good at what they do. And some comedians are going, yeah, that's true. But other comedians are going, nah, no, not at all. No, I don't have a bad life. My life was amazing. And it's like, okay. So it's not entirely true.
Different strokes for different folks.
Yep.
Yeah. So I saw Mindhorn. I really enjoyed it. I wouldn't say it's going to go down as one of the greatest comedy films of all time. But yeah, if you're looking to like kill 90 minutes, Mindhorn is a perfect way to do it.
Okay.
It's got Julian Barrett, who was part of the Mighty Boosh.
Ah, yeah.
And yeah.
Oh, fuck me. I knew I recognised him. I was like, where do I recognise him from?
And basically the story is that in the 80s and like early 90s, he played this TV detective that had a bionic eye that could see if you were lying. And then he got the opportunity to go to America, and he just walked down to the show, shit on all his co-stars, said bad stuff about him on a TV interview, went off to America and just completely bombed. And now he's old, he's fat, he's bald, he's living in a small bedroom flat in Walthamstow. And like the person that he was most critical of on the show is played by Steve Coogan. And he's been given his spin-off show that's now in its 16th series. He's got a big mansion. Everybody loves him. Nobody even remembers the original Mindhorn show, apart from this guy who is accused of murder, who calls himself the Kestrel. And he believes Mindhorn is a real detective and will only speak to him. Mindhorn decides to come out of retirement, dust off the tan jacket, and try and get enough publicity to like re-engage the audience with who he is.
Oh.
And the greatest thing about this film, it reunites Russell Tovey and Andrea Riseborough. Not a lot of people know this, but Angela Riseborough was the original Annie in the Being Human pilot.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they share scenes together in this. So if you saw that original Being Human pilot,
yeah,
it's glorious to see these two together again.
Oh, yeah.
I do recommend Mindhorn. I think it's on Netflix in America. It's in the cinema in the UK.
Okay.
So yeah, if you get the chance to watch it, I definitely recommend it. Well, we're going to do what every podcaster does. We're going to have a quick break, which I don't know why every podcaster announces that they're having a break, because we could just stop recording and then pick it up and it's audio and nobody would know.
You just want us to get attacked, don't you? You like getting us attacked. Like, yeah, this is fun.
But we're guilty of it ourselves. So yeah, we're just going to have a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about Fate of the Furious, or as it was creatively called in the UK, Fast and Furious 8.
Family no more. You're not my family. You're not my family.
Fate of the Furious, or Fast and Furious 8. Jared, what did you think? And more importantly, what do you think it was about?
Cars going boom.
Cars going boom. That's what you need to know. Cars going boom. Now, I did see a lot of negative reviews criticising the lack of physics and the lack of plausibility in this film.
When do you ever see a film? Like, go John Wick. John Wick.
Yeah.
And John Wick 2. There's not one man that could walk into a place and start killing up everybody without catching a bullet to the face.
Yeah. All films are absurd. Even if you look at, like, the James Bond movies, there's some of them that are just, you know, they're no less absurd than Fast and Furious 8.
Exactly.
But for some reason, people don't like this. Like, when I said on Twitter, like, I've seen this film 4 times now. When I said that on Twitter, so many people were like, why? And, yeah, it's just that film snobbery I don't like.
Why, though? I don't think they're all too bothered about their $1 billion.
It was made for $250 million. It's made over $1 billion.
Yeah.
And it's about to hit $1.5 billion.
So they made quite a bit back. So I don't think they're going to be all too bothered about their haters.
So let's talk about the plot a little bit. Basically, everyone knows if you stick with a franchise long enough, the hero becomes the villain becomes the hero. And in this one, it seems that Dominic Toretto, played by Vin Diesel, has gone rogue. He's gone against family.
Oh my God. How could it be? Dom Toretto? He loves his family.
Family. All about family. Family.
Family.
So yeah, he meets up with Charlize Theron, who has got something on him, but we don't know what at the start. And she entraps him to go and do a job for her, which means turning against his crew, which results in The Rock going to prison. Where he meets up with Jason Statham, who is now who was the villain, who has now been in the franchise long enough to become the hero. And he and The Rock are getting their own spin-off film. Are you excited about it?
I want to see it. I
want to see it. Some of their banter and antics were just great in this film.
Yep.
And yeah, I would go and watch it.
And they gave Statham a backstory.
Yeah.
Like, where he was a captain or something or another.
What do you make of this film overall? I thought it was really enjoyable.
I liked it. But the thing is, I loved them. It's like, I just don't think about it. I just watch.
Perfect. Switch your brain off. My face
and start watching.
And just watch the film. But who would have thought back with Fast and Furious when it was just a Point Break ripoff that this would be going for like 17 years.
Oh shit, it is a Point Break rip-off, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
It's gone on forever, exactly. You just wouldn't think it was it staying, but then it's like, yeah, it's like 2, and then it was 3, and then it was Tokyo Drift. I mean, there was 2, and then it was 3, and then it was 5. And you're like, oh my god, how come this is still going on? And you're like, well, I'm not. If you put this perfectly. Mm. If they make it, I'ma watch it.
Yeah, if they keep making them, I'll keep watching them. And we've got another two coming. I think the highlights of this film is Statham rescuing the baby on the plane.
Yeah, that was good.
The prison fight. There's just something really satisfying about seeing The Rock just punch someone.
Punch somebody, throwing somebody. Oh my god, he just was destroyed. He was showing everybody why he's you know. One of the most highest paid action stars in the world now.
Did you believe he could pick up Scott Eastwood like that?
Of course, I think he could pick you up and fold you in half if he felt like it.
And there's a moment where he punches a steel door and I'm like, it leaves a dent, and I'm like, yeah, I believe he could do that. And somebody actually tweeted The Rock and the Royal Navy, and he said, hey, Royal Navy, could at The Rock really deflect a missile with his hands? So The Rock replied, don't tweet the Royal Navy, and yes.
With his bare hand, then yes.
I believe he could. I mean, it's absurd.
It's The Rock. He can do anything.
Yeah, it's just such a fun time.
Let's just put it this way. Dwayne Johnson was a wrestler, was a professional wrestler.
His first acting gig was in Star Trek Voyager, where he played an alien wrestler.
I have watched Star Trek Voyager a few times. How the bloody hell did I miss that?
Yeah, it's just a small cameo, I think, in a flashback.
I think I have seen it.
Yeah.
I think I have seen it.
And his next thing was in The Mummy.
Yeah, it's The Scorpion King.
Yeah, and he ended up getting his own spin-off. And I remember thinking, because, you know, we've seen Hulk Hogan, we've seen wrestlers try to be actors.
Yeah.
And I think for me, it was the Get Shorty sequel, Be Cool.
Yeah.
Which is an awful fucking film, but Dwayne Johnson is amazing in it. And that was the film that made me realise he could be an actor.
Man, I'm trying to think. Who else do I know who was in the wrestling industry who became a famous actor? And I can't think of someone.
Hulk Hogan had a few films.
He had a few films and then that was it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he had his real life.
He missed out on the George Foreman grill.
Yeah, he would have been Hulk grill.
Yeah, and then he turned racist. So
how did that work out for him?
Not so well. And let's talk about Dane Helen Mirren finally got her wish.
See, I didn't know, sorry to cut you off there, but I did not know about this, what you were just about to say.
Yeah, for those who don't know, she has long enjoyed this franchise. She's probably a bigger fan than I am of The Fast and the Furious. And she's been campaigning for years. Like, I'm going to play a clip from Graham Norton when she was on there a few years ago.
I hear, I don't know if this is true, that you are gunning to be in a big action franchise.
Yes, Fast and Furious. I would love to be in Fast and Furious.
You're not joking, are you? Are you serious?
No, of course not. It's incredible fun to do those movies, aren't they? I mean, they're like, just, you don't act.
For you.
Now I'm interested. Yeah.
No acting required. It's amazing. They set all these things and things explode all around you. And, it's unbelievable fun. And that with cars, like, that would be my dream come true.
Because really. I didn't know you love cars.
I don't love cars.
You like driving?
I like driving.
I'm going to play a clip that features Vin Diesel explaining how Helen Mirren got the part.
And Dame Helen Mirren is in this particular film. How did that... Yeah, Helen.
Well, I heard a rumor that Dame Helen Mirren approaches you at a party and says, I want to be in the next one. Is that true?
Yeah, she was on a TV show and she was talking about, I love Vin Diesel and I would love to be in Fast and Furious and I don't know why they never call me. And then I was at an Oscar party and she says, Vin Diesel, get your act together. I said, what did I do? She said, you know I love you, I want to be in Fast and Furious. Okay,
so they included her as Jason Statham's mom. So, and they've got a great banter towards each other, Statham and Helen Mirren.
Yeah, that was good. I like that. That was funny.
And they even bring in Luke Owen, is it? The Welsh guy who's Gaston in Beauty and the Beast. He was the villain in the sixth one.
You mean his brother?
Yeah.
I know who he is. Didn't know he was playing Gaston in Beauty
and
the
Beast.
Yeah, yeah. Man, did he bulk up for that?
I believe so.
Because Gaston in the animation is massive.
Yeah. I haven't seen Beauty and the Beast yet. Obviously, I've seen the animation. But yeah, the live action, I'm waiting for that to come out on Blu-ray because my daughter will want to see that.
Yeah, okay. I know, to be honest, I've watched Beauty and the Beast, the animation, a few times. So
I love it.
I have to say, and I did always... Emma Watson will always have a little special place in my heart.
Let's not go down that road. It's astounding that in its eighth installment, it is still delivering an enjoyable film. I think if I've got a weak part of this film, it's Tyrese Gibson as Roman. I don't think he adds anything to the film. He's meant to be the comic relief, but the stuff he does isn't really particularly funny. I don't get the feeling that any of the team actually like him.
Yeah, it's a good point.
And it's like, if he wasn't in eight, if he wasn't in nine, I would be okay with that.
In a way, him and...
Ludacris.
They work well, they bounce well off of each other, but other than that, you do make a point.
Yeah, what do you think of the addition of Nathalie Emmanuel as Ramsay, who we first met in Fast and Furious 7?
Who?
The girl from Hollyoaks that was in Game of Thrones.
Is in Game of Thrones.
I haven't seen it for a few years.
Yeah, I like her. I don't really know why they had her in it, really.
She doesn't drive, so she's always a passenger.
And Chris and Ludacris is already the IT.
He's the IT guy, but she's also doing IT. And it's just like, well, you didn't really need to bring her back.
Yeah, but I think, you know...
they feel the need to fill that Paul Walker void.
No, yeah, nothing will ever fill the void of Paul Walker.
No.
God rest his soul. I mean, he was... Oh, Jesus Christ, man. What pisses me off the most is that he was starting to come... He came into his own in Fast and Furious 6.
Yeah.
That was one of my most favourite episodes when him and Roman get their asses handed to them and they're like, don't tell no one. And I'm like, I enjoyed this one. It's one of my most favourite ones.
Yeah,
and then
he
had to go and get into the car crash. I mean, it's ironic. Mm. To flipping high hell. And then he passes away and you're like, nothing's not going to be... Because he was there from the first one. It was him and Vin Diesel. That's what made the franchise. Him and Vin Diesel. And now he's not in it. I'm good. I'm happy he done well.
Yeah.
But it still feels like it's missing.
Yeah, there is a Paul Walker void here. And they do mention Brian a few times in the film. When they're in Cuba, Vin Diesel says, oh, the buster told me this. That's referring back to Paul Walker.
Yeah.
And... It's no spoilers. Vin Diesel names his baby in this film. Brian.
Bob.
Yeah, Brian. So what do you make of that twist? Because the only thing that can stop Dom Toretto being loyal to family is even closer family. And in this film, we find out he's got a son with Helena, who he was with in Fast and Furious 5 and 6.
Yeah, but I'm just trying to figure out the length, because he stopped being with her from 6.
Yeah, they were together for about 6 months. And in that time, they found out Letty was alive and had amnesia.
So
Helena said to him, if you need to go and be with Letty, because don't forget, him and Letty have been together like years.
Oh, yeah.
He went off to go and see Letty, and I don't think him and Helena ever saw each other again.
So that's what I'm saying. How long between then, because she must have been pregnant then.
Yeah, well...
And then now.
She must have been pregnant in Furious 7. When she got thrown out the window by Jason Statham.
So she would have been pregnant then.
Because the baby looks like he's about 6 months old, maybe.
Okay,
maybe a little bit older.
So she must have been into her early pregnancy.
And it's sort of foreshadowed. You get a bit in Cuba where Letty's like, oh, you'd make a good dad.
As you say, don't. Don't overthink it.
If physics matter to you, you are going to hate this film. You're going to hate this franchise. But if you're just looking for a way to spend 2 hours on a rainy Sunday, you could do far worse than Fast and the Furious.
I'd say Play With Yourself would be a better idea, but, you know, Fast and Furious 8 is close.
It only takes like 5 minutes and then...
Yeah, you can make it long, take a break. When you're close, take a break. When you're close, take a break. I mean, you'll be in a lot of pain by 2 hours. You most probably want to hang yourself. Okay, watch Fast and Furious 8.
Yeah. Sorry we've been so scatterbrained today. We've had some Jägermeister. It is the hottest day of the year.
I'm so hot.
We are melting. I've had an ice cream today. I'm probably going to go home and have another ice cream.
Oh, you might. I would have said, come and bring me one, but I would have been like,
I would have drop you home,
but because I had that shot, I'm like, I think I'm seeing double. Jägermeister slapping me in the face. It's slapping me around today. I can usually handle my alcohol.
So, yeah, as we've fallen so far behind on our Doctor Who reviews, what we have decided to do is we will just get back together with Pete for the end of Series 10, and we'll just do a whole comprehensive series overview. Or me and Jared will just get right pissed up and Pete will be the only comprehensive one
on Pete, the podcast. Does Pete not drink?
He does, but he doesn't drink much.
Okay, we're going to be the only two drunk ones there. Guess we're going to have to do this over Skype because the only way I'm going to see going up to where Pete lives is driving.
Skype it is.
Exactly.
Or Pete can come here.
Or Pete can come here. Good point.
Why are we discussing podcast business on the podcast?
Yeah, good point.
Engaging listening.
Yeah.
Anyway, if this is your first episode, please check out our back catalogue. Some of them are better, I promise. And if you want to rate and subscribe us, we will really appreciate that.
Please do.
We also have a YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/badwolf.
Please, sir, can I have some more? Because we are all family.
Family.